court, please. A man. Now, I've been asked that question a number of times the last couple of weeks for my passport. And it got me to thinking exactly what a passport is, especially in connection with the covenant. It's much more than a piece of paper. It's a covenant that our country has made with other countries that says, this is who we say it is. Don't have to take his word for it. This is a citizen of our country. Now, the last few weeks on our sign, the saying was, one nation under God, one kingdom under Christ. We are, if we're Christians, part of that kingdom. Now, I had every confidence in my passport. And yet, every time that we came to a passport check, there's always a little bit of trepidation when somebody is holding all that power sitting on the other side of that little booth, and they're determining whether you're going to proceed or not. And they are scrutinizing your passport. They are scrutinizing your appearance. They have all the information before them. And they have all of the power in their hands. I want you to think about the relationship between our covenant and Christ and the confidence that we have as we stand before Him in that covenant. And turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and beginning with verse 35. Now, really, the basis of this lesson, you can kind of find the basis for this on the back of your bulletins this morning with some comments on this same portion from Jay Wilson. So it kind of got me to thinking about the idea of the covenant and passports. Now, read with me, if you will, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. And by the way, I'm not only excited to be here, I'm excited that you're here. I'm excited that you're here. All right. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Yet for a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe in the saving of the soul. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, I am grateful and thankful for the covenant that we have entered into, that you have provided for us, and Father, that by our obedience we have come to know you on an intimate level. God, if there is one here today who has not, I pray that this will be the day that that passport is stamped and that confidence can be assured. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you have thrown your passport away overseas. You have forsaken your national covenant. My daughter-in-law, Leanne, she visited Africa. On the day she was leaving, she realized that she had lost her passport. Well, you know, you don't get there and they pat you on the head and say, that's okay. You know, well, no, that's not the way they work it. It was quite the hubbub until she found her passport. She did end up finding it, obviously, because she got out of Africa. But they take these passport things very, very seriously. When someone says to you, and any official, like in Belarus, any policeman, certainly when you cross any national border now since 9/11, they want to see your passport. When they say, passport, please, what they're really asking is to see the sign of your national covenant. That you are a citizen of the nation that you claim to be. That you are who you say you are according to the national covenant. Because our government is entering into a covenant with other governments by saying that this is a standard procedure, that passports are going to be the way that we identify citizens. One nation under God, one kingdom under Christ. I don't know if you saw this in the news this week. But the British government refused to allow a Native American lacrosse team to enter Britain because the Iroquois lacrosse team had passports that were issued by their tribal federation. Now, as you know, Native Americans have been granted pieces of land that are their own national sovereignty. So they have tribal passports. Federal laws do not necessarily apply on Native American lands. The British officials said that the Iroquois lacrosse team was only going to be allowed into Britain with documents that the government considers valid. U.S. passports. Now the State Department, our State Department, was not real surprised by this decision. The Iroquois must eventually have internationally recognized tribal documents. Consequently, the Iroquois lacrosse team was forced to forfeit the World Cup games. The U.S. authorities had originally told these lacrosse players that they would have to obtain U.S. passports, but they said no, because the passports issued by Washington, in their minds, would be an affront to their identity. Because they are, of course, a sovereign nation that predates the United States of America by our own laws. Now, lacrosse, in case you're not familiar, is a sport played with a rubber ball and a long-handled webbed stick. It originated centuries ago, you guessed it, among the Iroquois. Most Iroquois in North America reside in upstate New York. Some in Canada, but mostly in upstate New York. And their confederation has sovereign status. Passports issued by the Iroquois don't have the high security features that travel documents from the United States State Department have. So the British said, we're not going to recognize this, even though you folks are the originators of this sport, we're not going to let you in the country to play these games. Now the Iroquois had every confidence. The Iroquois had every confidence in their sovereign status. The trouble was that their sovereign status was not recognized by the British government. Stay with me. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Where is your confidence? Is it in the authorized documentation, or is it in some sort of sovereignty that is not authorized, that God is not going to recognize? It wouldn't matter if everybody in the United States of America had an Iroquois passport. Britain is not going to recognize it simply because the majority has it. There is a standard. There is a black and white. There is absolute truth. There is, in other words, a covenant. And a covenant to be respected. Now, regardless of how you feel about the Native Americans and who came first, the point is that they weren't going to let them in because their passport's not valid. I want you to think this morning about the validity of your passport, not based on the history, but based on the Word of God. Because somebody is going to be standing on the other side of that booth deciding, you see, it's not going to be on the other side of the booth. Jesus describes it that it's going to be like sheep and goats. And some folks, he's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. And they're going to say, wait, we got passports. We've got sovereignty here. Haven't we done all these things in your name? And Jesus is going to say, I don't know who you are. You don't have any standing here. Because your passport is not valid. Now, we can throw away our confidence. Everything about that? Confidence is something that can be thrown away. Now, I hear people losing their confidence. There's a big difference between losing my keys and throwing my keys away. The Bible talks about throwing our confidence. See, we don't have to lose our confidence. If we lose our confidence, we have lost our confidence due to carelessness. Verse 36 of Hebrews chapter 10 says, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." And what's the promise? Jesus is coming again. But for now, the just will live by faith. Yes, we are marching in Zion. By faith. He's coming to take us home. We're in Fulton County already. We are in Zion already. But I have gone to prepare a place for you. We are seated in heavenly realms. But if anybody draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. It is possible to draw back. It is possible to lose our confidence. It is possible to lose our passport. But we are not those who are careless about our passports. We are not those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. You can throw away your confidence, or you can believe to the saving of your soul. Throughout the Scriptures, there seems to me to be at least one thing that we find that truly moves God. It's not religious rituals. It's not how we dress, Sheila. It's not even the process. That's not to say any of these things are not important. It's not sticking to a program. God is moved by one thing. At least one thing. And that is documented faith. God is not a respecter of people, but He is a respecter of your documented faith. Here's what I mean by documented faith. See, I can claim to be a citizen of the United States, but people are going to want proof. Well, our proof, our passport, is in faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, but faith without works is dead. Your fruit, your works, is the documentation of your faith. The fruit is the documentation of the Holy Spirit. And we got the Holy Spirit when we were immersed to have our sins forgiven, to clean out the old temple, to allow the divine nature to move in. That then we would walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and by it the elders received a good report. Faith is simply taking God at His word and then living like it. Living like the Bible is true. Confidence in our documentation. One day, we left the flat, and I always kind of carried my passport here. Whenever you leave, you want to kind of have that with you, especially in a police state. Bob forgot his. We get down the road a little bit, and Bob says, "I forgot my passport." So what should we do? I said, "Don't get picked up." He said, "Should we go back and get it?" I said, "Not on my account." I had mine. I said, "Just try to blend in." Of course, he had a big yellow shirt on. You know, he's going to blend in like a, yeah. And me with a cowboy hat. I mean, we really blended in well, you know. My point is that the documentation does become important. See, but our documentation, it can't be to lay low and hope nobody knows that we're a Christian. Our documentation is going to be out there, out front, every day. Confidence in our documentation. It's not enough to have it in your pocket. There's no amount of baptism. Jesus is not going to check your baptism certificate. I think it's kind of a neat thing that we give baptism certificates when people are baptized. And yes, I'm getting around to it. No. That's not what Jesus is going to check when he comes back and say, "You got that certificate on your wall?" That's not the documentation. See, the documentation is the epistle that Paul talked about writing, demonstrated by the lives of the people. It's demonstrated by our lives. Now, honestly, I really don't like the customs process. Because many of you probably know, when we get to Belarus, you can't get in the country until everything passes through customs. But actually, what you do in customs is wait. And some of you know how good I am at waiting. You wait. You wait, and because everybody wants to go through the same little line. So, actually, the tension builds during that waiting, but really most of the time in that process is spent waiting. You know, most of the time in our Christian walk is spent waiting. I think that's why God tells us to be still and know that I am the Lord. But it is what we do during the process of that waiting period that demonstrates our faithfulness to God. I could wait very fervently, very nervously. You see, I could wait during that customs process, you know, looking at the ground, looking around, looking guilty, and guess what's going to happen? They're going to check everything. See? Or I can wait with confidence. Now, we can throw our confidence away, or we can have confidence. But the point is, it's up to us. It's up to us. It's up to us whether we're going to wait confidently or whether we're going to throw that confidence away. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 27. I know we quoted Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, but Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, but Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 27. We probably ought to look that up. Hebrews 11, 27. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, let's read 26 and 27. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of the treasures in Egypt, for he, that is Moses, looked to the reward. For by faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Well, what does endured mean? Waiting. Waiting. Having confidence when things are not going as well as you expected. Moses didn't fear the wrath of the king, for he waited as seeing him who is invisible. Faith is what? Evidence of things not seen. See, the thing that defines us, Jesus said the thing that defines us is if we love one another. But the thing that separates us from the rest of the world is our love for one another in the face of adversity. That we do not shrink back in the face of adversity, nor are we destroyed by the tests of life. How we react under the tests and trials will determine what God can trust us with. How we react under the tests and trials will determine what God can trust us with. He will not put on us more than we can handle. He will not put on you more than you can handle. He created you to be strong. The trials that you individually have been through would have driven someone else over the edge. It would have drove them nuts. Somebody else would have lost their mind if they would have went under the same trials that you have. But God specifically created you for such a time as this. But like Moses in Hebrews 11:27, we have to endure the test. Quitters never win. But winners never quit. No runner ever won a race by falling down and staying down. No boxer ever won a match by getting knocked down and staying there. If God delivered them, all those people in Hebrews chapter 11, He can deliver you. Passport, please. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. Proverbs 24:16. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. But the wicked are brought down by calamity. The righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up. The only difference between the righteous man and the unrighteous is when the righteous man falls, he gets back up again. It's not how many times you fall, it's how many times you get back up. Do not confuse what you are going through with what you are going to. Fear is the enemy of faith, and it is the assassin of greatness. You don't feel good? You know, everything that's ever been created that has really helped mankind has been done by somebody who didn't feel good. People who feel good tend to relax. People who don't feel good tend to look for solutions. Don't throw away your confidence because you don't feel good. John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's not all. John chapter 16 and verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. You're just outside the city of Jerusalem. And your eyes strain to see ahead in the morning fog. The hazy image looks more like an animal than a man. His hair is matted. His eyes are swollen. He's soaked in blood, and he slowly lifts his head and he strains to see through the blood and the sweat on his way to the flogging post. He stumbles and he falls again and again from the weight of the cross. You hear the hiss of the whip. The cat of nine tails that tears the ribbons of flesh from his back.
He's doing this for you.
His flesh hangs like ribbons around his legs. He's walking a pathway called sorrows up Golgotha. And you hear the ringing of the hammer as the spikes go through the sinews of muscle and flesh. His muscles jerk in spasms and you turn your head in horror. But you turn back as you hear Him speaking to the thief that is being crucified beside Him when He says, "This day you will be with Me in paradise." Tears well up in your eyes as you hear Him say, "Lamnai, lamnai, akna sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken Me?" The story doesn't end there. The veil in the temple is split in two and gives each one of us intimate access to the Father. 3 days later, Jesus rises from the grave and was seen by more than 500 witnesses. And in Acts chapter 1, He ascends, and on the other side of that cloud, we are told in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 that this is the message. That God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. God did this that you might have a relationship with Him through Jesus. Jesus' entire human existence was so that you might have a relationship with Him. He has brought you here today for a reason. And that reason is not just to occupy a seat, but an opportunity to take the gift of the divine nature. You're in line at the customs, and your passport is going to get stamped. And you're either going to be welcomed into the country, or someone's going to say, "Depart, I never knew you." You can have confidence, or you can throw that confidence away. That is up to you. You can make the declaration of your citizenship, because the soul is never going to die. And you can come and begin your eternal life this very day by putting to death the old man and raising the new creature to walk in the newness of life. There is no plan B. You must be immersed to have your sins forgiven and to get the gift of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. No other sovereign body can dictate the entrance into this kingdom. Only the blood of Christ is the sovereign body that dictates that. If you haven't done that, don't end up like the Iroquois who perhaps invented the game but can't even go play. But get your passport straight. Because to Canaan's land, I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. Number 867. 867. We're going to sing that. We're going to stand. And I would invite you to come if you need to make that decision. If you need to get back on the road, if you need to get your passport updated, we can do that too. Number 900 and number what? 867. I was turning to 900. I thought, what am I doing here? 867. To Canaan's land I'm on my way, where the soul of man never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul of man never dies.